Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to Romans 8:28. Just a couple of thoughts tonight before we go to prayer. Perhaps one of the most famous verses in the Bible for Christians is Romans 8:28. For there he says, "For we know," it's a certainty, "for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So it has been asked, well, if everything's working together for good, how come I'm having so many problems? And the answer really is in verse 30, where he says that, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, whom he called," not verse 38, verse 29, "for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." And if we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, what was his life like? All roses, sweetness, you see, all the difficulty that he had, his brothers rejected him, the community misunderstood him, spoke behind his back of his mother's infidelity, and he was born out of wedlock, and all this business. We need problems in our life. I think we ought to think of it this way: make friends with the problems in your life. These things, like with Job's story of Job, they can feel that they happen to us randomly and it's just wrong. But that's because it's unpleasant. But we need to remember two things about God that we've been learning in Job. One is God is sovereign. He is in control of everything. So nothing happens that he does not allow. And secondly, he doesn't do this because he's wicked. God is good. God is beneficent. God is interested in you. And so why would there be trials? Why is there a boot camp before people go into the military service, and they treat them horribly, and they, you know, beat them up and march them all over the place? Why are they mean to the people that they're going to entrust? Because you need to be ready. And it's only by facing those problems and conquering them, being able to bear it, that you gain the strength. You also gain what? The confidence, you see. So make friends with the problems in your life. As we see in verse 28, those things, you know, God has allowed it, because God could control anything. So God can fit everything into a pattern for good. However, the whole thing of fear and faith comes into it. Because if you go the side of fear and you run away from the problems, or you in some way try to hide from the problems, you're not getting it. But by faith, and these songs of courage and of facing the battle, by faith we say, if God has given me this problem, I then can overcome it. I can conquer it by his power. Here's the point: like boot camp, every problem can teach you something. Every problem can transform you little by little into the very masterpiece that God is building in you. You think about what happens to a piece of clay, or maybe even a better picture, Michelangelo taking this giant block of marble, and then what does he do? He tacks it with a chisel and hammer. And, you know, if the marble could speak, it would say, "Ouch, ouch, ouch, what are you doing to me?" And at the end, he has carved out the Pietà, the picture of a young Mary holding her beloved son Jesus laying dead in her arms. Pietà, pity, seeing the pity on her face. And that now housed at the Vatican, a constant reminder of the sacrifice and the loss of Jesus Christ and of his family. Then the marble could say, well, that hurt, but I guess it was worth it to become a masterpiece of all time. And this is what we need, you see. I've recognized as well, as in the case of Job, while it did teach him some things, the main point, as we saw from the beginning of the book, was this was Job being used to teach others, the angels, Satan, and others about God. And if you were to think about it, if you had to suffer in this life, this little life that we have for a while before we go into eternity, if you had to suffer here to glorify the name of God, to make people understand more things about God, would you not say, well, sure, I'd be glad to do that. Do with me as you choose. For my greatest goal in life is not my pleasure, but your glory. The very same problem that you face, which can be considered a stumbling block, if you stumble over it and you fall, you see, if you are acting in distrust, defiance, Jonah running away from what God told him to do, that same stumbling block can be the stepping stone that builds you up, that lifts you up, that raises you to higher levels. Joseph of the Old Testament, God wanted to take him from being a favored child in the tribe of Israel to be a master in Egypt. And what path would you choose to do that? And God said it's going to take two steps. First, you have to be a slave. Then you have to be a prisoner. I guess the third step is actually becoming the second ruler in Egypt under the Pharaoh himself. And that's not the path that we would have chosen. You know, how about if I just go to, you know, Egyptian ruler 101 and then 102, you know? But that's what it was. And when he learned everything that he could learn in Potiphar's house, there was graduation day and he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And he passed that and he graduated into the prison. It sounded like he was going down, but he was moving up. And that's why we ought to embrace that problem. Choose to trust God rather than defy him. The problem is a path that he set you on, that he will give you the strength to endure, to bear it, and, in fact, to gain by it. You have to choose God over flesh many times each day. I'll just do the right thing. I'll just do the right thing. You know what you can do is to actually befriend your problem by thanking God for them. So James tells us that give, what does he say? When you're beset by diverse problems, temptations, count it all joy. That's it. Thanks. Count it all joy. Yeah. You say joy, problems, temptations, pain, joy. Well, this is the joy that says, boy, when I get through this, I'm going to be better than I ever was. The Apostle Paul, in prison for the last time, clearly going to be killed because he was guilty, because he was in prison for being a Christian. he clearly was going to be killed. And he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, "And God shall deliver me from every problem." Maybe the problem wasn't that he needed to live on and on. The problem was being in prison, and God was going to deliver him from that to the glory of heaven. God will deliver me from all the problems. The simple act of thanking God for this problem changes things. It opens your mind to the possibility of benefits that may flow from the difficulties. I've told the story before, but the first time I ever put this into practice in an actual problem situation was when my brother-in-law, Robert Pryor, was driving us from Bob Jones University to the airport so we could fly home for Christmas, probably. But he had been scheduled to take other people there, and he was faithful and a good friend and did that. And when we got there, we had missed our plane. And I remember him looking at me with this vacant look of fear. And he says, what will we do? And I had no clue. I hadn't flown very much at all. And I said, we need to thank God for this. And so right there in the terminal, we knelt at the seats and we thanked God. And just the act of thanking God cleared the fear away. God's in control. We can thank him for it. This is some kindness that he's giving to us. And my mind just, all the panic just ran out. And I got up and I said, this has to happen all the time. The airport undoubtedly has some sort of procedure involved. So we went up to the thing. We said, we missed our plane. Lady said, okay, next one's at this, there you go. That was the extent of the whole problem. But what happened in me was miraculous, you know. I heard Jenny talking about Jeremy naming his problems and calling them dragons and so on, and you said you had done that. And there is something to that very thing. You can give the persistent problems, you can give them nicknames, you can give them befriending them in a sense, but actually squaring off against them as the enemy that they are, because the problems are something to be endured, at least, but conquered perhaps, if at all possible. Could you explain a little bit about that? You said there was something you'd been told. Okay.
So for me, it's my MS, that's the Incredible Hulk, which is the monster hiding inside of me. And Jeremy named it's for the ravens of Odin, and it's Hugin and Munin. And Hugin is because it's for the MS, because that has affected his, wait a minute, Hugin is for the Hodgkins, and it's because it has affected his thoughts. It's changed the way he thinks about things. And then Munin is for the MS because it's changed his memory. He's losing a lot of his memory with his MS.
The H and the M, Hodgkins. Okay. We can actually accomplish something with this. When we name something, we actually kind of feel like we can grasp it. We can wrestle with that thing. We can fight it. We can say, yeah, wrestling with you, you think you can beat me, but I'm just going to be stronger because of this wrestling match. The next step is then to go to God and introduce Eugen and whatever his name was to God and say, Lord, you have allowed these into my life. I accept them as my persistent enemies, and I want you to deal with them. We were reading in the Psalms this morning, over and over again, the psalmist is saying, I have these enemies, And God, you need to deal with them, and they're doing bad things to me, and I'm trying to be good to them, but no, they're being bad to me. And, you know, these are these problems. These are these things that we wrestle with. And so we take them to God, and that actually says to him, now I see you're dealing with it in the right way. So that allows him to help begin to clear them. And so he may not remove the problem. That may be part of the deal, is for you to have that the rest of your life. But his wisdom is sufficient to bring good out of every one of them. And that's when we just trust him for that whole thing. All right. Oh, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll close with these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look with me at verses 23 and 24. He says, but we preach Christ crucified. Now he says, when we preach it to the Jews, to them it's a stumbling block. What were they expecting the Christ to be? You know, come in like gangbusters and conquer the Romans and set up a political kingdom. And they said, nah, yeah, but this Christ was crucified. So it's a stumbling block to them. To the Greeks, foolishness, because they were all about philosophy of wisdom, see? And say, yeah, you're talking about a guy who died. So to them it was like foolishness. But verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God. Power and wisdom.